This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studios in Coldwater, Michigan. Tonight's top stories include soapbox time with me, Cold Snap, the Keurig of ice cream, Toto has a new toilet that analyzes your poo, and a doggy garage door leads the show tonight. I want to welcome you to episode 1499 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, January 11th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and new listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You, and you're going to want to support the show now because I got a new incentive coming. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check all the great content out. We got CES 2011 content that's making an appearance. So this week is going to be great to go over there and watch the ongoing content. Stuff that I am, weeding out to find the good stuff and sending it over to the writing team. Of course, while you're on the website, we want you to subscribe to the show. And you can also join our chat room if you want to get connected, geeknews.chat. That's our Mastodon chat server, or on our Discord channel. If those of you that are really engaged, you can join me on Slack. And have a good time with that. But of course, if you want to send an email, and I suppose this show is probably going to get a few emails one way or the other, I think I'm going to trigger a few of you. Contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com or at geeknews on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook as well. All the partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. Definitely pay attention to that. That's very, very important. All those great shows, definitely check them out. Lots of content, of course, lots of stuff over techpodcast.com this week as well. Let me get started off by, first of all, thanking GoDaddy. They're the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. This show is sponsored by GoDaddy, the longest-running continuous sponsor of any podcast in existence, and you can save lots of money. You can save a pile of cash, 30% off of new product purchases. $499.com is our newer transfer domains for new customers only. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with a free domain. The two best hosting deals in the absolute universe. So definitely check these two codes out. Get started with your own blog today on land that you own. And of course, if you're a business owner, you can try their free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. Again, remember that these promo codes and your utilization of them support this show. Allow me to do what I do. Allow me to pay the writers, take care of all the expenses here, allow the Geek News Central Studio to continue. Your support really is critical. And picking up GoDaddy products and services, pick up a domain name again, whatever it may be, something good. Go shop around. Use that 30% code at geeknewscentral.com as well. If you're here tonight, I want you to strap in. We've got a great show for you. But first and foremost, thanks GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And don't forget, this studio is designed by Audimute.com. And talk to Kevin over there. He'll get you all set up. So I just cracked a Red Bull. I don't know if I need it, but if I probably should just start off with tequila tonight, but I guess the Red Bull is going to be the way to go. And Kirk, can you throw me the soapbox? Hey, thanks for throwing it over. I definitely appreciate it. Step onto the soapbox here. And where do I start? Well, let me start by saying, first and foremost, this is not, this next discussion is not right, left. This is something that affects all of us. It's something we should all be concerned about. Something we should think about. And I hope to do my best to leave politics at the door. And I hope you will leave politics at the door as well as I get into this topic that I've been thinking about. And just, I want to provoke you a little bit. And many of you probably know what's coming already because you've been here a while. So for many, many, many years, I've been telling podcasters, never build a castle on land you're renting. And what you know, what really does that mean? Well, we practice what we preach here at Geek News Central. You guys know that geeknewscentral.com is Moonbase Alpha. It's where I want you to go to get the content. It's where I want you to go get subscribed to the show. You can listen wherever you want. And many of you listen on Apple Podcasts. Some of you listen right on the website. Doesn't matter where you listen, just as long as you listen and come over to geeknewscentral.com. Right? Sure, we have commentary on Facebook, on Twitter. I don't do Instagram very much. We have conversations there, not a lot of conversations, show related. But you guys send email to me about the show, and I cover it here in the podcast. So for my little domain and what I do, I have built my castle at geeknewscentral.com. Now, am I protected from having my site removed? Yeah, it is, unless I do something really stupid. And I personally control the content that goes on geeknewscentral.com. Yeah, I've got writers, but I review what they write. And very rarely, and maybe one time in 10 years, I've had to tell one of my writers, hey, need to make an adjustment here. Literally, like one time in 10 years. And if you talk to any of the writers that are over on the website, they'll attest to it. I don't throw editorial control on them, but I do editorial oversight because it's my site. It's my castle. It's my land. It's my.com. It's where I want you to go and where I want you to get engaged. And we might this year be making some changes to increase engagement at geeknewscentral.com. Because I think after all these years, and for us being together, and this is 16 years podcasting, and we're going to get, you know, show 1500 is next, right? That's Thursday. But I think by this point, most of you that are here agree with me on most points, and sometimes we agree to disagree, regardless of politics. I've tried to be an equal opportunity basher when necessary. We try to keep it tech-related, tech policy-related, right? We don't get into left-right political issues. We talk about tech stuff and how it affects us from a technical standpoint on the internet, the apps that we use, the sites that we visit, the tools that we use. This is what we talk about on this show, right? And my castle is geeknewscentral.com. And what we put on geeknewscentral.com, I think for the most part, you can take our opinion and make wise decisions. That's at geeknewscentral.com. Now, when you wander off into the Netherlands like the rest of us do, and we go over to Facebook and Twitter, we are, in a better words, inundated with a whole, and I'm going to take some liberties tonight, with a whole bunch of shit along with some good. I was talking with my brother-in-law yesterday, and him and I kind of came to the conclusion, and I've been telling all of you for a while now, way prior to the election, to get off the news. I've been telling you. It did me wonders in getting off all of those channels because it was full of shit and largely stories and talking heads that you could not trust to the point where, in my opinion, you cannot trust any news. I have become so distasteful in news, I can hardly trust anything that comes out of their mouth. And when I start finding out that TikTok has the news that I've been looking for, It makes me go, because I see stuff that's unfiltered. I see raw video coverage, raw stuff that was recorded, and I can see what people actually say, not rumors and innuendos and someone signed this or someone did that or there's some conspiracy going on over here or the troops are rolling or whatever it is. You cannot trust any news, and you can hardly trust any of the content being put out in a variety of places because it's all snippets of spin. So what we have today is distrust of stuff that's going on. Everyone distrusts messaging. Everyone distrusts sources. Everyone has doubt. And ladies and gentlemen, that's very, very, very sad that we're in a situation today where what's presented to us on social media networks, even though someone is, how shall I say it, meaning well, there's just less vetted information. And then you have individuals and organizations within these social networks that have their own vetting people, and then they choose what they feel is real. What makes them any more qualified than you or I? I feel I can separate the wheat from the chaff when I'm going through stuff online and give a discerning eye when someone says something. Matter of fact, I was talking to someone the other day and I said, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's real. Where's that sourced? And oftentimes, this stuff is all, anybody can say anything on the internet. Which leads me to what started around Friday night when it was announced. And this is, so let's just back up. People have been in this position now where they don't trust stuff on Facebook. They don't trust stuff that's been on Twitter. And a segment of the population went over to Parler. And good or bad, whatever people were saying over there, there was, because I actually did set up a Parler account to do a test to see if my podcast would publish over there. I think I made 3 posts. Didn't hang out, didn't read the threads. I went over there purely to see if the podcast would show up, and it does. There's a player, and well, there used to be a player and a video player, and I could post my podcast over there. And it's just part of my, and I've done that on some other social media sites just to see what would happen and where I could get potentially more exposure for this show. Not that I was going over there to hang out. But, as a matter of fact, I found their platform to be kind of hard to use. It really, sourcing information was difficult. It was much easier on Facebook to find stuff. But people left Facebook for Parler for a reason. And it was basically the freedom to post and to share information just like they do on Facebook. Again, I can't attest to the content. I can't contest the validity of the content. I can't say that plus or minus stuff was said because there's been a lot of stuff said on Facebook that made you go, whoa. But when I heard that Apple and Google were removing the app, Parler app, and they're not the first apps to have been removed from the App Store. That's their choice. That's, they have a terms of service. And, you know, Apple made their demands and Google did as well. And it was such a big demand. I don't think Parler was positioned to be able to make changes as quick as those two organizations wanted. And so the apps got deplatformed. But it was with pile-on from everyone else. And to me, when you have the number one growing social media platform growing at massive rates because of basically people being pissed off about not being able to trust stuff or being devoiced already, it looked to the general population that was on those apps that this was an attack on free speech. Going back to my comment about building your castle You should never build your castle on rented land. And with Apple and Google, you have no choice. That you want to build something, you want to build it in an app, they are the people you're renting from. Now, hindsight's 20/20, but if the folks, and I'm not a consultant, but if the folks from Parler would have come over to me and said, Todd, we're going to build this app. It's going to be really targeted for conservatives. What should we do? Well, the handwriting's been on the wall since 2016 of what's been going on. I think I'd have said, well, do you own your own iron? Do you own your own servers? Do you have a data connection that you've got your own data connection and not rented someone's data connection, but actually bought a data connection? And have you done a public a PWA, a web app? And if they'd, and probably that's what I would have advised them, considering the environment that they were moving into. Well, they didn't do that. But when Amazon pulled the plug on them, that kind of shocked me. And then everything piled on. And over what was largely happening on all these other social media platforms, and is still happening on these social media platforms today, where there is a dual standard. You still have the leader of Iran making threats to kill Jews and to destroy America. You have individuals that are dictators who have Twitter accounts. It goes on and on and on. And I am not going to talk about the president getting banned. That's its whole line of story that we don't need to get into. But if you've got people making plans on these platforms, then how are they any better than, why didn't Apple have Facebook and Twitter removed when this stuff is ongoing? You can go, why? Why not? So today, I found a tweet from all people that came from Glenn Greenwald. Know who he is? I don't like this guy very much, because he was the guy that was behind Snowden and reporting all the stuff that Snowden did. You know, my opinion on Snowden is he's a traitor and he should, you know, be in a dark hole for a long, long time. Well, Glenn's no longer with the Register. He's got his own deal. But listen to what this guy said. And listen to what the ACLU said. There's some points in here that I couldn't have said it any better. So I'm going to read what he said. He said, the ACLU, New York Times, on why the union of Silicon Valley monopolies, Apple, Google, and Amazon, to remove Parler from the internet is so problematic. While the ACLU is largely just a liberal pressure group now, they still have some real civil liberties lawyers. And I'm going to read directly from the ACLU lawyer, Ben Weisner. And we've, on this show, we've talked about the ACLU once in a while that's come out of the left field and said some stuff that we agree with. Not always, right? Or for me, anyway. Ben Weisner, a lawyer for ACLU, said it was understandable the company wanted that no company wanted to be associated with the speech that encouraged the breaching of the Capitol, but he said Parler's situation was troubling. He says that was because Apple and Google's removal of Parler from their app store and Amazon holding its web hosting went beyond what Twitter or Facebook do when they can curtail a user account or their post. He said, I think we should recognize the importance of neutrality when we're talking about the infrastructure of the internet. Now, when he said that, I kind of like, whoa, infrastructure of the internet. The infrastructure of the internet is a fundamental right for all people to be online, right? That's kind of one of the principles of the internet. But today, we have Google And we have Apple phones, and they are the new gatekeepers to the internet. I think we should recognize the importance of neutrality when we're talking about the infrastructure of the internet. Glenn goes on to say, and this is not the ACLU, Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon have more concentrated wealth and power than any in history. They've used brute force. Now, this is from a guy that is, again, he's not a conservative commentator. They have used brute force 3 times in 3 months to manipulate U.S. politics, censoring New York Post, banning Trump, and destroying Parler. And liberals are overwhelmingly supportive. He says that these Silicon Valley monopolies are grave menaces to political freedom and economic well-being is not a right-wing view. Now, what do you mean? He says, this is what he's, now let me blow your brains. Let me, just your ears are going to explode. He said that these Silicon Valley monopolies are grave menaces to political freedom and economic well-being is not a right-wing view. Not a right-wing view. Why? Why do he say that? Because back in October, a report was come out where last June, the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Antitrust, Commercial and Administrative Law began an in-depth investigation into 4 major firms. Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. The subcommittee wanted to answer one key question. Did big tech get big by playing the rules, or does it cheat to stay on top? After 16 months of hearings, research, and analysis, the panel's findings are out, and the results are looking very bad for every company involved. The tech sector does indeed suffer from abuses of monopoly power, the subcommittee concluded in a mammoth 450-page report that was published on October 6th. This was the House, not the Senate, the House. As exists today, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook each possess significant market power over large swaths of our economy. In recent years, each company has expanded and exploited their power of the marketplace in anti-competitive ways. It goes on to list a whole bunch of chair people, Jerry Nadler, David Sicilian. Says our investigation leaves no doubt that there's a clear and compelling need for Congress and the antitrust enforcement agencies to take action that restores competition, improves innovation, and safeguards our democracy. Now let me go back to what Grinwald said. He said that these Silicon Valley monopolies are grave menaces to political freedom and economic well-being is not a right-wing view. Authoritarians never believe they're authoritarians, no matter how much censorship, surveillance, jingoism, and imprisonment they demand. They tell themselves their enemies are so uniquely evil and dangerous terrorists that anything done in the name of fighting them is noble. Now, this hasn't been fact-checked. Grinwald is going to be coming out with an article about this. So I have no way to validate what he's saying is true. Again, I have no way to validate what he's saying is true, but he has said he is going to come out with all the evidence. He said this, and this is what I want. This is the crux that I want you all to listen to. Again, until he comes out with the article with his information that may or may not be true, okay, because who can we trust any days, right? Listen to this, and this is going to wow you. Do you know how many of the people arrested in connection with the Capitol invasion were active users of Parler? His response, zero. The planning was largely done on Facebook. He says this is all a bullshit pretext for silencing competitors on ideological grounds. Just the start. Now, if that is true, And I would imagine there was probably some of those people on Parler. I can't imagine they were not. But there's no groups on Parler. Everything is an open thread. It's Twitter pure. There's no way to have private conversations. Do you know how many of the people arrested in connection with the Capitol invasion were active users of Parler? Zero. The planning was largely done on Facebook. This is a bullshit pretext for silencing competitors on ideological grounds. Just the start. And it goes on and on. I'll provide the link to his entire commentary here. He says, for those asking the basis for the latest last claim, I spent the weekend reporting on the removal of Parler from the internet, including reviewing lots of documents and interviewing people associated with the companies involving, including Parler. The article will be up shortly. So we'll see. We'll see. We're going to. But if this is true, wasn't the pretext of having Parler removed that Parler was a menace to society and these people that went in the Capitol building wrongly in the way they did? Does it make you go, hmm? So what if all the planning and everything was done on Facebook groups or on Twitter or elsewhere? And now there's been arbitrary action taken against Twitter and removed from existence, taken down. Did it make them feel good? So I go back to what I say before. You do not build your castle on land that you rent. I still firmly believe you can't trust almost all news. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a moderate or a libertarian or whatever, but silencing. First of all, destroying competition, silencing voices is really interesting. Now, most of you don't know, do you know hate speech is actually protected by the Constitution, by the Supreme Court ruling? Now, you know, there's going to be ramifications for what you say. You're going to get deplatformed and you're going to, you know, there's ramifications for hate speech. You know, there's no doubt there, but it is protected speech. Isn't it kind of funny? You can say what you want to say, but, you know, you might get fired. So my main point here on all this is We have to really be careful. I think we all can say that what happened at the Capitol grounds was despicable, horrible. People are getting arrested. It's one thing to peacefully protest, but it's another thing to go and destruct and, you know, and to threaten violence and all that. Of course, that happened all summer long as well through other protests and sometimes much worse. Buildings were burnt down and that kind of stuff. And again, we'll figure out who was involved. The government will figure out who was involved and bring them to justice and they'll all be charged and in jail. And over time, the full story will come out and who these individuals were. But going back to what has happened here with the deplatforming of a platform, I have, for the past 14 months, I used to hear all the time, and we used to hear in the news all the time that it was only conservatives that were being deplatformed and devoiced. And last year, I was at an event and sit in the back of a room, kept my mouth shut, and listened to a diversity group talk about how they were deplatformed and devoiced. So it happens. It's happening everywhere. And when people's voices don't fit a specific narrative for these companies, then they're either ranked down where their content can't be seen. So it's not just the right. it's also the left. And so I understand about this shadow banning and everything that's going on. GeekNewsCentral.com, my website, is my website. Unless I do something completely outrageous, I should be okay. My site shouldn't be taken down. But I get real concerns as a techie. And it really, you know, I've heard about other apps getting deplatformed. Porn apps and so forth, Pornhub and a variety of other ones have had their apps taken down. But you can have an OnlyFans app. Some of you know what OnlyFans is? OnlyFans is where you can go pay a monthly fee to see your favorite celebrity, favorite Instagram person, male or female, display their wares. I guess that's a better way of saying it, for a monthly fee. So that app can be online, on the phone. That's okay. You can sell a $6.95 subscription to, how about you guys, you want me to sell a $6.95 subscription and I can bare my chest and show, bleh, I just threw up in my mouth, right? You can have that. You can have that. You can show everything. You can show adult content on OnlyFans, on an app on these platforms, but I guess that's love. So anyway, I've talked enough about this, but I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. But from a technologist standpoint and from a just watching what has happened, it makes you wonder a little bit. I know some of you are happy it's gone. That's, you know, that's okay. That's your prerogative. But remember, I'm a big, you know, freedom of speech advocate. But at the same time, you know, what you say and do can hurt you. You know, you've got a right to say it, but better be willing to live with the consequences of what you have said. And that goes for everybody, no matter who you are. But it just feels like there's a little bit of double standard here. You think? I don't know. What do you think? GeekNews@gmail.com. That's the email address. Now, we'll see if I get banned. All right. So, that said, show 1500 is coming, right? And, you know, I got a pile of stuff tonight. A pile of CES stuff. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be a long show. So, I have decided to start a new podcast. You're thinking, holy crap, are you kidding me? But it's going to be a special one. And it's going to simply be called Insider. And it's not going to be published on a scheduled basis. It's not going to come out weekly, bi-weekly. It may come out once a month. There's no promise to how often Insider is going to come out. But Insider is going to be for those of you that are insiders for the show. And for those of you that had made significant contributions to the show. And I'll make that decision myself. And I don't know when the first episode is going to be, but it's going to be private. It's going to require each of you will get a username and a login and a special app. In fact, the app is going to be from Blueberry, from my company. You'll be able to download it from iOS or Google, and you'll get a login, and you'll be able to access Insider only on that app. And you'll be able, and I'll let you know on this show when there's a new episode out, so you won't have to load the app every day to look. But this is going to be a new show that I'm going to do, and it's going to be an intimate conversation where I take you deeper down the rabbit hole. and give you the information and talk about stuff that I can't talk about in this show. And it's not going to be political. It's just going to be Todd. Todd and his thoughts and what's going on in life. And so it's simple. If you want to have access to that, minimum fee is come in at $2 a month at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Become an insider and support the show financially. And then we'll have an intimate chat on a periodically regular basis. It's going to be audio only. Quality may not be as good as this, but it's definitely going to be something that'll be intimate, more intimate than this show. And again, I will reserve that for contributors to the show and people that are insiders, like Sam. He's going to be in because Sam provides album art for the show and does all kinds of stuff for the show and appreciate it. And it just, you know, that's what's going to be. And I hope that you enjoy it. I made this decision actually today and been thinking about, well, in the back of my brain, I was thinking about it a little bit. So that's what's going on. So Gary said, LOL, no, no, no. Oh, I think I know what that was in reference to. But anyway, so that's what's happening here. And that's, we'll start sending, I'll start sending insiders their information. I got to get it set up. Won't be too long. And we'll get the at least one episode up in there in the next couple of weeks. But again, the only way you're going to get access is if you become an insider and or I've decided you have made significant contributions to the show or anything that we've done here over the past 16 years. So you guys are pretty quiet on Facebook tonight on what I'm saying. Did I piss half you off? Did you already leave? You know, you're on. Hey, we got a lot of people on Facebook, YouTube too. So, you know, what is your thoughts on my soapbox time? But we have to protect the ability to have freedom of speech. And we have to understand that there are consequences. If you say something, you might be sued, lose your job, you might go to jail. There's all kinds of things that can happen by freedom of speech, but by golly, you can say it. But just keep the hate, keep the violence, you know, express your opinion in a way that, you know, isn't going to cause you to lose your job. Or, you know, let's have a dialogue. You know, let's have a reasonable dialogue, but let's not stifle voices. Okay. Oh, what's interesting? I don't even know if I want to say this. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Germany and France attacked Twitter and Facebook after the U.S. platform deplatformed the president. She objected to the decision, saying Monday that lawmakers should set the rules governing free speech and not private technology companies. I'll leave it at that. And again, that's their choice. It's their platform. They decide what they're going to do. That's the bed they've made. And if they think that's the case, then that's the case. That's what they decided to do. And people can like it or cheer it or hate it or be pissed off or, but in conjunction with that, when people go to different platforms and then they deplatform them, they deplatform the platforms that people move to, makes you go, oh, holy crap, what's going on here? Whether you like it or not, you should be concerned. Okay, enough. I'll stop. But I'll have that link to the Ars Technica article that talks about how Amazon, Facebook, Apple, Google have monopoly power and should be split, and that I am for. Okay, we got a pile of CNET stuff tonight. I mean, pile. This probably was an hour and a half worth of content itself, and I've already burned 35 minutes of the show, 40 minutes of the show, just getting through the first part. No one wants a comment. I know people are scared to say anything. Last show, I had to like really hold myself together to think about how I was going to talk about all this. Cold Snap is a Keurig of ice cream, and it's a CES 2021 product. Gosh, 2021, I'm dead. 2021 product we all need right about now. Yes, everyone loves ice cream. Everyone loves ice cream. And last year it was the liquor machines. This year it's the ice cream machine. This is fantastic. We'll make you a nice, of course, if you don't have anything in the refrigerator, this thing will make you, while Cold Snap is a countertop device, it clocks in at a whopping 50 pounds. Woo! It may take longer than the current 60, 90 seconds for the machine to finish making you ice cream. If the device was smaller and weighted less, it might take longer than the current 60 to 90 seconds that it currently takes to make you an ice cream. The pods, they have pods, yes, just like liquor pods. They look like energy drink cans. They're made of aluminum instead of plastic because they're easy to recycle, but each pod has a built-in QR code and a mixer to ensure that you get the right consistency for the specific pod you're making. It starts out as a liquid mix in under 2 minutes, supposed to dispense your ice cream. The pods will be good for a year. Cleanup is supposed to be simple. Holy smokes. I love these kinds of machines. I really do. But this one's between $500 and $1,000. The pods will be between $2.50 and $3 a hit. So it might be just cheaper to get the ice cream out of the freezer, get your jug of milk, put it in a blender, blend it up, add some Hershey's chocolate, and you're good. Or some strawberries or something like that. But for a party device, if you can afford it, Cold Snap. This was probably what, if I was wandering CES and based upon the stories I've seen already, this probably would have been the product of the year for me. I have to test it first, but I think it's pretty cool. Have an ice cream machine maker. Now, have any of you ever had goat's milk ice cream? The best doggone ice cream I've ever had was goat milk's ice cream. And the next one, what goes in has to come out. See how I made a transition there? Toto, you know who Toto is, right? Toto is the toilet company. Toto expands touchless bathroom tech and debuts a health analyzing toilet. If you're on the fence about adding fiber-rich bran flakes to your diet, let your toilet make the call with one look at your poop. That's right. Toto is a staple in the bathroom fixture market. And this year at CES, the company highlighted the new models of touchless technology. It's a wellness toilet. Let's be clear, the toilet is anticipated to come to market in the next several years. But the concept is intriguing. It's definitely in development, probably not a far-fetched concept now that smart toilets and human and health trackers are commonplace at tech events. Now, let's think about this for a second. A lot of disease and a lot of what's wrong with you comes out of you. And if they make a device that you can sit on every day and do your business, and it can warn me if there is blood, if there is some concentrate of something that should not be there, or there is an enzyme that it can detect that should not be there, or it gives me early cancer screenings, or some maybe you need to go see your doctor. Wouldn't this be cool? Now, there's probably not a one of us that have never provided a sample at your doctor's office. And we know there's a wealth of information that's in our poo. But we'll see what this does. So this, to me, from a futuristic product, is probably my number two pick for the year. And Toby, if you weren't here earlier, were you here earlier for my rant? I'm responding to Toby on Facebook. But anyway, lots of products here that are cool. And of course, everyone loves their dogs. And lots of dogs are at home alone. Maybe not right now. But you now can buy a $3,000 automatic garage door opener for your dog. And the video on this is really well done. I mean, they did a great job. It's a specially built door. Yes, this isn't going to be, you can't just add this to your door. This is a product that you have to buy the door itself. The dog wears a fob. It walks up to it. And if you've set it up the way it is, the dog can be let out automatically and let in automatically. And, or it can ring your phone and say, Fido is waiting to go outside to pee. And you can see the dog via camera. And you can talk to your dog through the camera and let your dog out. It's called My Q Pet Portal. And again, for those that love your puppies, it starts in an eye-watering $3,000 and up. Now, of course, you have to have a backyard that can support a dog going out by himself. But the world's largest garage door opener company seems dead serious about building the best doggy door ever. And again, this is by the company called Chamberlain. And they've been in the garage door business for about 67 years. And garage door openers haven't changed that much. But this is a new one. Opens side to side and lets your dog out so he can go do his thing instead of chewing up the carpet or peeing on the floor. I think this would be perfect for a well-trained dog in an enclosed yard. So, who will Apple go to build their car? Ford? Nope. GM? Nope. Chevy? I guess same company. Nope. Toyota? Nope. Honda? Nope. Reports out of Korea say an informal deal will reportedly come life in March where Hyundai will be the manufacturer of the Apple car. The newspaper said a prototype of the Apple car may be ready in 2022 before production kicks off in 2024. That timeline tallies with previous reports from before Hyundai came into the mix. If the deal comes to life, Report Original said Hyundai will build Apple machines at its Kia factory in West Point, Georgia. So at least it'll be made in American soil. But the newspaper retracted that detail in revision. The report also floated the possibility of Hyundai and Apple investing in a new joint facility in the U.S. to build the cars. Report target 2024 production. 100,000 Apple cars with the possibility of 400,000 vehicles built annually in the years following. How many of you are going to go get yourself an Apple car? If you say something wrong, will they make it, disable it? We're going to have fun with this one for a little while. The FTC settles with photo storage app that pivoted to facial recognition. Agents said Ever used customers' images without their permission. And under the terms agreement, Everbum Incorporated is required to delete photos and videos of its users who deactivated their accounts, as well as any facial recognition algorithms developed with users' photos or videos. So this is a story that goes all the way back to 2019, intermixed here with CES stuff. Western Digital doubles the storage in its portable SSDs to 4 terabytes, sets you back at a whopping $680. Here's my advice. Buy 512 gig, SSD, and then put a spinner in there. That's $680 for four terabyte SSD. Come on now. Maybe external storage if you like that, but still external storage is still pretty cheap. Smartphone shipments in China fell 20.4% in 2020. Not surprising there. Everyone's out of work. So the number of devices shipped in China dropped to 296 million from 372 million in 2019. Okay. So people are holding onto their phones longer. And of course, the brands that they're talking about here would be like Oppo, Vivo, Xiaomi Corporation. Oppo is a big brand in Asia. If you've never heard of an Oppo phone, you go to Asia, you see Oppo phones. So anyway, drop on cell phone deliveries. Everyone's broke, can't afford to buy anything. Panasonic has unveiled its vision for the future automotive interiors at CES 2021. That seems to be a big theme here on several articles I saw, is the interiors of our vehicles. They're drawing a line between the family room and the family car. They want you to have the same experience in the family room that you have in the family car. Huh. My furniture in my living room isn't that comfortable. My car is actually more comfortable than my living room furniture. So I don't know if that's a good idea. But whose fault is that? It's mine, right? Panasonic's automated vision today announced and unveiled five futuristic technologies that will help make the autonomous vehicles tomorrow more capable, more comfortable. Those include wireless Wi-Fi towing. In other words, a camera on your camper or your trailer. Dolby Atmos surround system and augmented reality heads-up displays. That's what I want to see, is the HUDs. HUDs and cars are going to be cool. So I have a link to all the articles in today's roundup in the show notes. Gary says, what kind of appeal would the Apple car have? Probably a green one. A green car from Apple? Oh, man. I made that one up on the fly. You got to admit that was pretty good. Hulu had supported plans for students. Cost just $2 a month. Students have been able to get Hulu for free as part of a bundle with Spotify for a while now. But if you're interested in Hulu and don't care for Spotify, the video providers now have you covered. Students can get a subscription to ad-supported Hulu for $1.99 a month, a discount of $4. What do you have to prove? You have to prove you're a student? Don't know. But that's not bad. $1.99 a month for ad-supported Hulu. TCL teases a 17-inch tablet that unfurls like a scroll. Now, this to me is, and I saw this, I'm like, what is this? What's the use of this? They hinted before about rollable devices. But it's now clear one of them might be particularly ambitious. In other words, that means there's probably not really going to happen. The company has unveiled a concept tablet built around a 17-inch rollable printed OLED display. You can even pull it open like you're unfurling a scroll. While the on-screen images clearly don't reflect what you get in a shipping product, TCL envisions using this for detailed maps on a hike and other situations where laptop sizes would come in handy, maybe construction sites and looking at drawings and stuff like that. The screen offers 100% color gamut and could translate to other devices, including TVs, foldables, and commercial displays. So, I don't know. They're really pushing things here. I'm sure it's going to turn into something cool at some point, but I don't know if I need a tablet that rolls up like a scroll. State of the stream, December in 2020 year in review, Twitch and Facebook gaming hit new milestones. XQCOW is a top streamer of the year, and new game set notable peaks. Twitch, Facebook Gaming, and D Live all had to make traffic after quarter one. I mean, they went skyrocketed. 17 billion hours were watched in 2020, represent 83% growth compared to 9 billion hours in 2019. That was on Twitch. Facebook Gaming increased 166% from 1.35 billion hours in 2019 to 3.59 billion hours in 2020. DLive is still a small platform with 59 million hours watched in 2020, but it had significant boost after Q1. Just Chatting was the number one category of 2020. Valorant had the highest peak viewership, and indie games made their presence known. So Just Chatting, 1.9 billion hours. League of Legends, oh my God. That game has ruined many achieving college students. 1.4 billion hours of mindless. I'm glad I'm not don't watch gaming. Think about that. 1.9 billion hours just chatting. League of Legends, 1.4 billion. Fortnite, 904. I can argue that Fortnite is good for creative. Grand Theft Auto, 764 million. Valorant, 737 million. Call of Duty, Modern War, 637 million hours. World of Warcraft, 411 million hours. Again, top games. We're just chatting Fortnite, League of Legends, World of Warcraft. Top 10 new IP 2020 based on hours. Valorant, Fall Guys, Phasmovia, Cyberpunk 2077. Anyway, goes on and on. Gives all the dates on all the gaming stuff. Not about this streaming. Oh, my goodness. Samsung TVs will have a solar charging remote control in 2021. Brilliant. Listen to, did I hear that again? Samsung TVs will have solar charging remote controls in 2021. Thank goodness. It can be charged via indoor or outdoor light. You just flip it over underneath the lamp. It charges it up. You don't have to worry about AA batteries anymore. The remote itself is pretty eco-friendly, as 24% of its 31 grams of plastic is made from recycled polyethylene. The company says that solar-powered remote controls will help prevent the waste from a projected 99 million AAA batteries over 7 years. Rechargeable batteries work too, but who uses those? Because we always lose them, right? Or throw them in the trash. Very, very cool. Cowin, and I've never heard of this company at all, Cowin's latest earbuds and headphones balance budget and battery life. Neither will set you back more than $150. Lots of cool Bluetooth in-ear earbuds. And again, Cowin's not especially a household name, but they've been trying to make affordable audio products for a while. So lots of stuff out there. Probably a Chinese company. It would be my guess. The PC market, of course, we know has had its first big year in 10 years. You know, it was supposed to die, but really COVID changed all that. Market research firm Catalyst reports that PC shipments reached 279 million units in 2020, up an impressive 11% from 2019. IDC puts the year at 302 million shipments, up 13.1%. Gartner also agrees that 2020 was big. And, of course, coronavirus, number one reason we needed more laptops for our kids to go to school and be at home working and all that stuff. And interestingly enough, the Intel Evo Chromebooks will feature visual sensing tech and Thunderbolt. And some of this is kind of cool. When I hear about visual sensing tech, you're like, is that for vision impaired? Is that, well, you know, what is that for? And check this out. According to the folks at Engadget, the company's visual sensing technology, codenamed Clover Falls, quietly announced last month, is a low-power companion AI chip that can do things like automatically lock your computer when you walk away or dim your screen if you look down at your phone. Those sorts of features could help save battery life, as well as you get better security if you're handling sensitive data. During a brief web demo, it appeared to work smoothly. The visual sensing chip only took around a second to lock a PC after they left the chair. Aside from the premium Evo hardware, Intel says the first Chromebooks powered by its 11th gen CPU should arrive in the first quarter. You can expect around 28% faster web performance and 2.5 times speedier multitasking compared to the fast available Chromebook today. So good news from Intel. This next one, this is an article from Geek News Central, talks about Milo. Oh, it didn't come up yet. Let me flip this back. Wait till there it goes. Milo, the action communicator, wins the CES 2021 Innovation Award. And what exactly is this? Well, Milo received about $2.5 million in pre-orders during a Kickstarter, with more than 17,000 devices pre-ordered in the 37 days during the Kickstarter, which closed on November 12th. Milo is a communication. It's a simple, multi-way, full duplex group voice Okay, so let me read this again. Mile is the walkie-talkie reimagined on advanced software and hardware platform, enabling simple, multi-way, full-duplex group voice conversations in the moment, transforming experiences for outdoor adventures on trails, slopes, or water. How many times, Chris, I haven't hiked that much. But hiking is a big thing in Hawaii, and the group is very spread out, you know, 25, 50, 75 feet. It'd be kind of cool for every person to have one of these clipped on and be able to talk as a group as you're hiking. Usually you've got a hiking partner and that's the only person you're talking to, but you could talk to the whole group. Pretty cool. So built for adventures, Mile integrates multiple patented world first features, deliver high quality natural conversation package in a simple and beautiful design. By simply clipping the Mile to a pocket, handlebars, or an armband, a group can talk at conversational volume, hands-free and phones-free, while staying focused on the action. So doesn't talk about range or anything like that, but looks pretty cool. So again, the Mile, the action command communicator. I'm going to say commander. Beep, beep, beat me up, Scotty. It's the start. Moen, how many of you have a sump pump? Well, sump pumps will keep your basement from flooding. But how many of you have ever had a sump pump quit? I've had, everyone that has a sump pump has had a sump pump quit, and you end up with water in your basement. Well, Moen has a sump pump monitor that could bail you out if your basement floods. This is about home monitoring tech. And by the way, if you have a, I got to look at my phone. I'm having a brain fart. Let me look at it. Let's see if I can find it. Oh my God. I'm not going to be able to find it here quickly. Well, many alarm systems. Let's leave it at that. Many alarm systems have water monitors as well. And you can put a water monitor in your basement. There are different places where water is not supposed to be. And if it detects waters, it'll notify you. This is the same kind of tech. So Moen lets you, basically it monitors, make sure your water is being pumped out. So flood sensors remain one of the best small investments into smart home tech you can make. Placing a few cheap gadgets strategically around your home can save you thousands of dollars in water damage. Over by the hot water heater, over by the kitchen sink, underneath the bathroom sink. I'm serious. This is a place where leaks will really screw you. But here's even a better place to put a water detector. I had my entire house wood flooring have to be replaced because of a leaking plastic pipe on a refrigerator that when I turned on the water in the refrigerator, a stream of water shot out of one of the plastic tubes and over time had enough water go behind the refrigerator, get underneath my flooring and ruin it. So if I'd had one of these water monitors behind my refrigerator, I would have been able to see if there was an issue. So again, all these kinds of cool tools that you can put in place now so that you don't end up with an insurance claim that your insurance company won't pay. That's always the risk. You catch it early? Well, if a pipe busts, you're screwed anyway. But at least you know the pipe busts and you can get to the house before you got 3 feet of water in the home. So anyway, this is a sump pump water monitor. So very, very cool. What's the price on it going to be? Does it say? No, but cheap. Hi, Rita. How are you? LG has dialed up the brightness on its 2021 mid-range OLED TVs. The latest model can improve quality of AI scene detection. So basically, there's just a whole bunch of new TVs coming. You get a 48 to 83 inch OLED TV. You can gallery mount it or put it on a wall. It's got a AI processor that can analyze and optimize content according to LG's AI Picture Pro feature. It will detect scene detection, analyze scenes, and improve the picture, making it look more real than life. Anyway, so LG's got a whole bunch. I'm still a Sony fan. LG also has unveiled new OLED TechNet Stadia and GeoForce line and some of the 2021 TVs coming. So lots of stuff coming to OLED. Samsung has a robot that will clean your house and pour you a glass of wine. Huh. These are futuristics. But one of Samsung's new bots will be available in the U.S. this year, a robot vacuum that doubles as a home monitoring device. So it's going to be a security device as well. So it's got a big, 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 big base. Samsung's bot handy could put your dirty dishes in the dishwasher or pour you a bottle of wine. Well, that's definitely a futuristic picture there. That's not real. You know, we're already lazy enough. Why can't we get up and pour the out of the bottle ourselves or get the beer out of the fridge? You know, Fido was being trained to be able to get a beer out of the fridge. But now you can tell your robot to get your beer out of the fridge or pour you a bottle of wine. I wonder if it'll uncork it too. So unlike previous CES press conferences, Samsung's event on Monday focused on bigger picture technology. Then listing dozen new products, includes importance of AI to all Samsung products. And so we got all kinds of cool stuff coming. Everything is AI, AI, AI. It's all buzzwords. So, but they did show off the company's JetBot 90. That's their new vacuum. That's a robo, what is it? You know what I'm talking about. Competitor. Pulling a brain fart. Told you the show was going to go long. New HP laptops at CES. Refreshed Envy. 14 new models. 14 new models have been released. That's incredible. Oh, wait. Envy 14. New HP laptops. Refresh Envy 14 released. HP is an updated version of the Envy 14 and two 5G-enabled business laptops. All right, so three. Sorry. What's that, 14? Why do they have 14 new laptops? But if you're an Envy fan, link will be in the show notes. Also, you use a hairdryer? I use one every day. You know, gotta keep these locks looking beautiful. You know, the 1 millimeter of hair I have on the top of my head. But new Panasonic hairdryer promises healthier hair in 2021. Or so Panasonic claims with its latest hairdryer. Isn't there a hairdryer by the folks that make the vacuum cleaners that everyone raves about? They're like $400 or something like that. Is that an intelligent hairdryer? Well, anyway, this hairdryer, this author even kind of does a little, you know, he hair dries his locks and puts a little softener in it. But anyway, Panasonic introduced a new entry in its Nano hair dryer line. The new Nano promises reduce hair damage from everyday brushing thanks to its nanotechnology. According to Panasonic, the Nano tech pulls moisture from the air to dry your hair without drying out your hair. It's also pet friendly. The electronics company claims, as well as easy clean via removing the intake filter in the back of the hair dryer. And it's going to cost about $150. So Panasonic. I saw a lot of Panasonic hair dryers in Japan. I've never seen one here in the United States. BMW previews iDrive in the iX electric SUV. And I tell you, that they're really up in their game when it comes to dashboards. It's going to, you know, everyone's trying to look like Tesla. Big screens with lots of functionality, you know, super fancy dashboard that makes you look like you're in a spaceship. I think it's all cool. You know, I'm all for like having this cool look inside of vehicles. But BMW's iX electric SUV may represent a big change for the cabin. Again, everyone's focusing on the cabin as it does for the power plant underneath. Automakers offered a preview of the iDrive. So anyway, expected to go on sale before the end of 2021. So if you are a BMW fan, they're going to have that iX electric SUV available this year. For some reason this year, I've been watching, ever since COVID started, I've been into watching sailboating families, people that are on sailboats going around the world because they can go places we can't because, you know, they're an ocean and they're able to get into countries and do cool things and looks like they're on permanent vacation. But a lot of these folks have a lot of trouble docking. And Volvo has a brand new self-docking boat tech. So any of you that own big boats and you're, you know, worried about banging the dock or your boat or both, I guess you would anyway. Volvo self-docking boat tech is now a reality. Penta, the maritime subsidiary of Volvo, has announced a commercial arrival of its autonomous boat docking system. Integrated assist docking is designed to handle the complicated mess of driving a vessel into a dock, making the pilot's life a lot easier. When you're trying to steer into a dock, the endless fluctuations of the tide and wind make it that much harder. Penta's system knows the boat's location, uses common GPS onboard sensors and dynamic positioning, and makes adjustments on the fly. The vessel's pilot just needs to grab the joystick and point in the general direction. The system will make the hard yards. So the test bed boat was positioned between two 72.6-foot racing yachts and seamlessly managed to guide itself between them without any stress. So let the computer park it, just like your car, right? So if you have a boat and you want something to help dock it, this tech is going to be available. Fossil is debuting an LTE smartwatch and adds new styles to its Michael Kors lineup. So if you are a Michael Kors fan, you like their designs, again, Fossil has an LTE smartwatch available for you that's being debuted at CES. Ladies, wait till you hear this. We reviewed some of these new technologies in women's basically product lines for lipstick and, you know, color and, you know, all that stuff that you ladies do to look good. And Yves Saint Laurent has a lipstick gadget that's going to create any shade that you want. Again, we need to see the demo video, but there's a $299 pre-order. So if you're a fan of Yves Saint Laurent, you'll be able to get one of these pre-ordered. And I guarantee this is going to be cool, probably expensive. We know that L'Oreal debated a gadget at CES last year that promised to make lipstick shades of whatever color you wanted. And this year, we're learning what that device requires to work at home. It's called lipstick pods. The Yves Saint Laurent Beauté Rogue Sur Mesure, powered by Persol. Yes, that is really the name. Yes, let me read that again, see if I can screw that up. Yves Saint Laurent Beauté Rogue Sur Mesure, powered by... I'm screwing up. Sorry. If you speak French, just... I apologize. Takes three different lipstick color pods and squirts the liquid out at the top. And for wearers to mix, the pods suspend YSL's Beauty Velvet Cream Matte Finish Formula. When combined, they create the desired shade. The top of the Bluetooth-enabled device doubles as a compact, so people can take it on the go and touch up the color as needed. It costs $299. What does the pods cost? The lipstick pods cost $100 on their own and cannot be swapped in for another for anything other than those pods. Each cartridge is verified through RFID, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, if you like a different color for every day, you definitely want to check this out. Health tech, beauty tech, it's all about. What you remember, my mom, and I'm just, you know, she's listening and watching right now. She has a lipstick collection. You know, isn't that kind of the thing? You have 20 different shades of lipstick, you know, to have the right lipstick for the right clothes and all that. You know, what's wrong with having a lipstick collection instead of having a device you spend a lot of money for? What does a tube of lipstick cost anymore? I don't even know. Probably expensive, you know, especially if it's a name brand, what, $30 or something for a tube of lipstick? So maybe that $100 isn't so crazy. Being replaced 20 with one, maybe, who knows? What do I know? Samsung Smart Home Vision includes more intelligent fridges and vacuums. Again, a kind of a readdressing article from what's going on with Samsung. I have that link in the show notes. This is kind of interesting. I don't think this was announced at CES, but Alula, a platform for cancer caregivers, patients, and survivors, raises $2.2 million. And what it is, a platform for those fighting cancer. And Alula, A-L-U-L-A, is basically going to be giving information of different treatments that people are getting and what they should expect and terms and technology. And it really is basically, it's a platform that takes a radical, honest approach preparing its users for everything to go through during their treatment. It includes the products they'll need to deal with, the treatment process, communication tools to help coordinate support, and content to encourage support patients on their journey. So it's a purely website designed for people that have cancer. So with 1.8 million people each year being diagnosed with cancer, they should get a lot of traffic if it has all the information they're claiming. EcoCube is named CES 2020 Innovation Awards honoree. And this is a pretty cool device. A palm-sized radon detector with outsized features. The EcoCube utilizes EcoSense patent ion chamber radon detection tech, which provides a radon measurement sensitivity performance that is 15 times better than industry standards required for continuous radon monitors. While other home radon detectors can be slow and not as accurate, EcoSense real-time monitors use a patent ion chamber technology that gives you really fast results. And additionally, this means that the first radon level result from EcoCube is available in 10 minutes after its initial setup, with reliable results in just about an hour. So anyway, that's an article we covered by Jen over at Geek News Central. What else? Future Seating is a leading power provider of ergonomic, high-quality, thoughtful design seating products. To make their company debut at CS21, amidst the pandemic, the industry evolved exponentially, and Future Seating is committed to not only evolving the revolution, the gaming and office chair space with Mavic's Gaming and the X-Chair Office. So these are chairs. This is, you know, chairs. You guys know chairs in offices are really, really important. And we had basically told all our employees, because we bought them really good chairs for the desk, ergonomic, you know, all the stuff that promotes good posture and everything else. And we encouraged them while during COVID to take their chairs home and work from home in their good chairs if they didn't have a good chair. And in some instances, we bought some of our employees chairs because they never went to the office anyway. They were just at home. So they're home workers. And I'm a big believer in good chairs. So I would love to hear and get a handle on one of these. As a matter of fact, I've asked for a review unit for an X-Chair office to see if I get one. But definitely always looking to up the game when it comes to a chair. Now, let me show you what this thing looks like. This is their office chair. And for those of you watching, it's a lot like the chair I'm sitting in now, except that the lumbar support is more adjustable than the one I have. So, you know, these type of chairs are pretty doggone awesome. And this one's got all kinds of features in it as well. So anyway, we'll have the link up in the show notes on that and see if we can get one in to review. Let's see here. I think I've covered that. Oh, this is interesting. I wonder if we could get this going for this show. A virtual human presented some of LG's CES event. So yes, a virtual human did some of the presentation. Okay. So they used a virtual human called Rhea Kim to promote some of its products, sporting a hoodie with the slogan, Stay Punk Forever. So, you gotta love it. You really, really do. Philips has a new smart toothbrush, adapts to your brushing style. It's called the Sonic Care 9900 Prestige. Will automatically select the appropriate mode for you. Now, some of you really like the Sonic Cares. There's several really good brands of toothbrushes out there right now. I don't know which model I have. Mine's got the one that the head goes back and forth real fast. It's round instead of oval like the Sonic Care. I love that toothbrush. And but anyway, this is the Platinum brand. So probably going to have a platinum price on it as well. But that was introduced today. So you'll be able to probably check that out very, very soon. What is the price on that going to be? It says Philips will remove... Oh, the company said that most of us apply too much pressure while brushing, with the new unit designed to mitigate that tendency. And the new brush head has a new set of angled bristles that Philips says will remove 20 times more plaque than existing model. The Sonicare app offers real-time guidance on how people should best clean their teeth. And the more you use it, the more personalized your recommendation. So for one, I don't floss like I should, so I need all the plaque care I can get. The Microsoft Surface Pro 7 Plus has LTE, a new CPU, and a bigger battery. And the Surface Pro 7 Plus is only available to business and education customers. So if you want to get your hands on one of these, you're not going to. Yes, we're going long tonight. I've got about five more. Targus, I think this is really, really cool. It's probably, I don't know if I'd own it, but this one made me go, So Targus has unveiled a virus-killing keyboard light in antimicrobial backpack. So, you know, keyboards are disgusting. But if you could put your keyboard in front of this thing and it cleans it, or, you know, does the job on, killing bacteria, I think that would be kind of cool. And then they also got a backpack that they've introduced that has some of these same features. I don't know how they do that, but probably in the material and so forth. But all right, last couple articles, mostly from Engadget. Aptiv brings semi-autonomous tech to more affordable cars. So Aptiv is trying to, you know, basically lower the entryway of, autonomous vehicle driving into vehicles that the most of us drive that don't cost $800,000. Being a little exaggerating there, but you get my idea. TP-Link has added a voice control to its newest mesh Wi-Fi router. So guess who is now in the TP-Link Wi-Fi router? Yes, Alexa has been integrated. Really? We need her in our router? Putting her right at the center of things? Conspiracy? I think not. All right. Gonna kill that one. Those of you the gamers, Mad Cats has a new mouse, which has a mechanical switches with a 2-microsecond response time. So for you, those gamers out there that need just a little bit faster click, yes, a 2-millisecond response time thanks to some technology. The switch that's been building is called the Dakota. And so anyway, some of you that are gamers, you probably know this brand very well and are looking to make the jump and a little more performance. Alarm.com is a touchless video doorbell that's built for the COVID era. Yep, you don't touch it. You just stand on the mat. Yep, you don't have to touch the doorbell. You just stand on the mat that's included with it. That's kind of funny. Why don't you just have it so you wave your hand in front of it so you don't touch it? Really, people are worried about touching doorbells? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. All right, that's going to bring me to the end here, but let me see if I had any email come in. Today's show should drive some email. I just got email. Money on the way. Oh, I'm sure. What do I have to do? Call someone? Have any of you want some good YouTube stuff to watch to laugh? Just a search Scambaiter. Scambaiter on YouTube. Guaranteed to spend a whole evening watching people in India's machines being erased or siskeyed or wasted hours and hours. God bless these Scambaiters for what they're doing. But definitely check out Scambaiter on YouTube. Just search for that term and you'll come up with 50 different YouTubers that are out there fighting the fight against these call scammers. Okay, this is going to wrap the show up. I do not have any email. Whew. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure to bring the show. Next show won't be so hard and heavy. 1500th episode. We're going to celebrate. Don't forget, we've got the new Insider podcast that I'm starting. For those of you that are insiders, it's going to be a private podcast. only available through a specific app that we'll make available to you, the Blueberry Private Podcasting app. And within the next week or so, I'll be getting out logins to all of you that are insiders that contribute to the show, and we'll have a first episode shortly thereafter. But again, and it's also going to be for people that have contributed a lot to the show over the years, or that I feel are worthy. But the price of entrance to that is going to be $2. And I guarantee you it's going to be worth $2 if you want to be more intimate and get more of an insider discussion or commentary from me. And I'll do my very, very best not to do crossover, or maybe I'll expand upon stuff I cover in the show and don't go too deep in. So it's just going to be a conversation, no tech. So it's just going to be a combo, all right? A combo between you and I and those that are supporting the show financially. So get involved. We want you to be involved. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. $2 to get going. And you can do more, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25, or make an annual contribution. And that's another thing, too. I'll be looking. It's harder for me to track that back. So if you've already done an annual contribution for 2019, please let me know, because I'll include you on this platform as well. So just send me an email. Say, Todd, I was a one-time contributor of the show, and I'll make sure you get an invite to Insider. All right. It's been my pleasure being the podcast. Again, no set schedule, no guaranteed every week or something. It's going to be random, but I'm going to, you know, be consistent and give you guys something. And again, a little added value for supporting the show. Anyway, so we're marching to 1,600. Thank you so much. Next 1,500. Thank you so much. And next show should be a huge, 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 huge milestone for this podcast. Very few shows get to 1,500, let alone 16 plus years in podcasting. So we'll see you next week. Hour 29 tonight, or hour 26. So this definitely was a long one. Hope you enjoyed it. Made up for some of the stuff we missed during Christmas. It's my pleasure bringing the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone take care. We'll see you on Thursday for the big celebration. Bye-bye, everybody.